Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer and returning member meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The link will be posted in the chat. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Chiwenda, a compulsive overeater from Nebraska.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Chiwendo. I am a recovering alcoholic with food from Omaha, Nebraska. Grateful to be here to share with you tonight. Oh my, is this meeting an hour or is okay? Like that's a lot of time. We'll see. We'll see what I do with that. So I came into Overeaters Anonymous in whoops. In March of 2006, I weighed somewhere over 600 pounds. I don't know. I actually found out after I started losing weight that I was over 600 pounds. So I don't actually know what my top weight is. I know that it was at least 600, 600 and something. But I came in. I just one day I was sitting, I was looking at some photos. My mom was like really big into snapfish and she had a digital camera. So she was just taking photos like a crazy person all the time, like whether you were looking or not, whether you cared or not, whether you wanted your photo taken or not. And then she had the audacity to actually go to Walgreens and print them out and then bring them over to our house. So that's just what every 600-pound person wants is a bunch of photos of them looking completely, totally miserable. But I was holding my newborn daughter at the time, and I was just looking at this photo, and I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, I just look so miserable. And for some reason, I went upstairs to my computer, and I just typed in Overeaters Anonymous. And I found a meeting that day, and I went. And it was the beginning of the change of the, you know, for the rest of my life. So I went to that first meeting. It was on a Friday. I walked into the room. It was a group of ladies. No one, you know, I was a 26-year-old black man walking into a meeting. I think there was one woman under 40. Most women were over 50. And I was just like, I didn't care because the things that came out of their mouth, I related. I did the crazy, weird shit that they did with food. I did that. And so I remember crying at my first meeting. I knew I was home. You know, that idea about welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, welcome home. Boy, that hit because I was like, oh, these people are speaking my language. So I was hooked. I was locked in. I was locked in. I went to my next meeting 2 days later, became a regular at meetings. And I started doing service, you know, whatever service I could do, help pick up, help clean up, help put chairs away, whatever, you know, lead a meeting after, you know, a month or two. And I did three meals a day, nothing in between. And that all by itself got me from north of 600 pounds to about 440 pounds. And I just really thought I had this thing figured out. I got this thing on lock. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, y'all don't know about me, boy. I came in. I'm just changing. I'm going, you know, I had all the ideas of being an OA, how to show people how to do it. And I had no clue how much work this program was going to take. And so it was Martin Luther King Day, 2008. And I had gotten down to that 440 weight. I always weighed myself on the 15th of every month. Because the scale is a mind fuck for me. I still weigh myself no more than once a month. I went and what's a good compulsive overeater do when they get to a weight loss goal? They go get donuts. Well, that's what this compulsive overeater did. So I went and got donuts. And for the next 15 years, I never left the rooms. I would go up to 500, 525. Then I'd come back down to 440. And I'd go back up. And I stayed in that cycle, right? Losing that 50 to 100 pounds five, six times over the next 15 years. I just didn't want to listen to anybody. I mean, you guys are all nice people, but you guys didn't get me. You don't understand. I'm like, I'm hundreds of pounds overweight. You don't get it. You just don't get it. You just don't get it. You just don't get it. So I spent the next 15 years in these rooms finding a reason not to do the work, not to relate. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, you know, like, y'all don't get it. Like, y'all just don't get it. I can't explain to you why you don't get it. And I was so convinced. I was so convinced that I was right, but I couldn't leave because this was the only thing that I had that belonged to me. There was a sanity and a peace that I had when I walked into the rooms. And I loved it. And then COVID happened. And so I really didn't like Zoom, right? Because it really, what it is like I spent, you know, it's one thing to just judge the six or seven people at a meeting in Omaha, Nebraska, or 10, 12 people, depending on the meeting in Omaha, Nebraska. But Zoom is just a whole, like, look, how many people are in the meeting today? You know, like, you know, it's what, 33 people. It's 33 people for me to judge. And that's all I did. I just sat in judgment of all these fucking people won't stop eating, won't stop killing themselves with food. And that's just what I did on Zoom. I wasn't working a program, and I hated Zoom meetings. I thought it was dumb, and I thought it was like, oh, that's just garbage. And I just wanted to go back to the old way, you know. And I was just like, so I was just really stuck in my own head, in my own thinking. But in 2023, it's February of 2023, the Super Bowl in that year, that was my last good binge, right? Like, the binge didn't work. You know, like, like, the thing is even in program, you know, they would say, like, nothing would ruin a binge like you know, a belly full of food and a head full of program. But that didn't bother me at all. You know what I mean? Because I'm a real drunk. You know, I ain't gonna fuck with me. I'm a real drunk about this food. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get it. Sugar, flour, and fat in combination. I'm gonna. That's the only thing that made me exhale. I was never a drug user. I was never. Why would you? Dumb people use drugs. Food is cheap, and easy and accessible. And it kept me in my self-righteousness. You know what I mean? I'm not so weak that I can't. Alcoholics. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug user. Those people are weak. You know what I mean? It just all of my self-righteousness, right? I was unwilling to put it down. But what happened in the Super Bowl of 2023, because that was like my high holy day, you know what I mean? And I couldn't exhale. No matter how much I ate, I couldn't get that feeling that I needed to, like, oh yes, I'm okay for just a moment. You know, I couldn't get it. So I went to my sponsor at the time. She had been my sponsor about 5 years. I didn't really listen to her because I didn't listen to anybody, and I didn't follow any instructions because this isn't a, you know, like, this might be a program for living, but I have a food problem and I have a weight problem, and that needs to be addressed first because that's what I've determined needs to be addressed first. And so what happened is I went to her and I said, hey, I'll do whatever you say. I'm ready this time. I promise you, I will do whatever you say. And she looked at me so sweetly, and she said, I think we need to find a male sponsor. Now, in Omaha, Nebraska, at the time, there were no men who would, there were no really no men in program, and definitely no abstinent men in program. So that meant I had to go to that dreaded Zoom. For some reason, I listened though. That might be the true miracle, is that she gave me this direction and I listened. I found a guy, and he said, are you willing to, he said, are you willing to give up food and food decisions? And I said, yes, because, you know, for me, I'm a bigger compulsive liar than I am a compulsive eater. And so, of course, I'm going to lie to him. I'm not willing to give up food and food decisions, but I need a sponsor. You know what I mean? Like, because this is what I did my whole life. control and manipulation. Tell you what I think I'm supposed to tell you so I get the result that I want in the moment. And what I wanted in the moment was a male sponsor because she told me, and I wanted to be a good little boy and go do that. You know what I mean? But I didn't know that he was not joking, right? Like, he was not joking. So as soon as he asked me that, it was a Sunday morning. It was March 7, 2023. And he said, "Well, have you had breakfast?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "Okay, let's plan breakfast." And like right there, dead ass, it was like, "Let's plan it. We gonna do this right now? Oh, we gonna do this right now. Oh, he not joking. He not joking at all." And so I did it for that day. And I woke up every day. I woke up every day and I called him. And after 4 days, I was following the food plan, right? And I was not eating anything alcoholic that I would have said was alcoholic, because he asked me what was alcoholic for me. I told him. And but I was eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch. And when I was making the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or when I was making the turkey sandwich, I was taking huge like swaths of jelly and peanut butter, and like this, like, I mean, probably, like, now as someone who weighs and measures his food, if I had to guess, it'd probably be an extra 5 or 6 ounces of both peanut butter and jelly while I was making the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I told him about that on March 11th, 2023. And I told him, I did that yesterday. It was the first time I had ever told anyone all of the shit with my food, because I always had reserved a little bit. My disease was like, "Oh, it doesn't matter. You don't need to tell him about that. You're just having a little bit of peanut butter and jelly while you make it, but it's fine." But I told him that on that day, and something changed, right? Something changed. And that was, March 10th, 2023, was the last day I hurt myself with food. And I got a new life on March 11, 2023. And one day at a time since then, I've been and stayed abstinent one day at a time. Now, for someone who came in over 600 pounds, on March 11, 2023, I was 502 pounds. I was 502 pounds, and I was out of ideas for just a little bit. Or I was maybe I wasn't out of ideas, but I was willing to set them aside. The set aside prayer is paramount here, because the paramountness of it is, it's not asking me to throw away what I know. It's just asking me to set it aside. Doesn't mean I can't come back to it. But what if I just set my thoughts aside and see if this new way works? Am I willing? And so what happened is I was willing for the new way for one day, and I just continued on with it. And I continue, and then he one of the things he asked me to do is he asked me to join this group of men that were all 100 pounders online for a meeting that they have 2 days a week. And this meeting was it was my exposure into a bunch of guys. It was like 70 guys in Overeaters Anonymous who were all 100 pounders. And like over half of them were abstinent and had lost hundreds of pounds. I met guys just like me, guys who were 500 pounds, 400 pounds, 300 pounds, and they were normal body weights, or they were approaching normal body weight, and they were abstinent. And everyone did the same thing as far as like no unilateral food decisions. And I was like, "You mean these people actually do this shit?" Because I kind of always thought that everyone in OA, like, nobody actually does all that stuff. And it was the power of Zoom. Zoom really started to show me, when I got abstinent, I started going to a meeting a day. And I didn't, and I started going to meetings in the morning because I love a 6 a.m. meeting. And so I started going to the 6 a.m. meeting every day. And I started, and so every day I would do a meeting at 6 a.m. and I would call my sponsor at 7:30 a.m. And we started walking, he started walking me through the big book. we started with the doctor's opinion, and we started, and then we went into Bill's story, and there's a solution, and more about alcoholism, and so on and so forth. But what happened was, is for the first time as a compulsive eater, I could see how I am actually an alcoholic with food. Because I never was like, why am I reading that book of Alcoholics Anonymous? I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drunk. It's not the same. I continue to not relate. This particular sponsor, he helped me create the parallels needed for me to admit my true hopelessness. And there's that line in the big book, that I can't tell the true from the false. Even today, abstinent over 3 years, I still can't tell the true from the false. And what I found is that it's not necessary for me to be able to tell the true from the false. For me, it's necessary for me to help another compulsive overeater, right? If I've And I keep a circle of guys who can tell me what they see in me. I trust that vision more than I trust my vision. Because in the last 2 years, I've lost over I've lo or I've lost about 200 pounds, so I'm almost to 300, and I'm continuing to lose weight. And my sponsor told me to get a nutritionist, and then she gave me a plan, and it was a weighed and measured plan. And I was like, oh, there was no way that's going to work. That's way too much food. And I was completely wrong. Because what do you know? If you're an alcoholic with food and you stop eating the alcoholic foods, I was like, oh, I actually, my food is plentiful and I enjoy it. I love it today. But it's just like, no matter what you give me, I can stop at the end and be free. I didn't have that ability before. And so, as I walk through the big book with my sponsor, and I've walked through the steps two or three times now, what keeps really happening for me is a realization that I was not prepared for the level of work that this program would take. Like, what's it mean, for me to put this thing first? Because I'm like, I got a family, I got kids, I got a job, I got to do. Maybe I'm gonna put this thing first. What's it mean for me to make it my top order of business? Because there are days where I think that there are things that are more important than this. But the thing is I had to change my perspective, right? I had to change my perspective on what OA is. Like, I'm blind as a bat without these glasses. And I never leave the house naked. You know what I mean? 46 years on earth, I never walked out of the house of my on my own 2 feet naked or without my glasses, right? And that's what program is. Program is my glasses help me see, right? Program, when I'm working my program, I can spiritually see. And they're my clothes. I would not feel safe walking out in the world naked. I would feel vulnerable, right? That's what program is. So I would never walk out the door. I would never go out like, oh, I've got to go to work today. I would never go without my shoes. You know what I mean? I just wouldn't do that. And so when I had to, when I put program in that vein, instead of like, I was trying to make it like this most grandiose, most high thing that has to, the thing is it's like when I bring it in first and I filter everything through the day, through all of the events of my day, through program, through these 12 steps, through the things I through my fellows, that's when my perspective changed. That's when I became willing to make phone calls. That's when I became willing to do service at a level greater than just like, oh, I'll unlock a door. That's when I realized that I relate to the anorexic and the bulimic and the compulsive overeater, and I relate to the man, the woman, the non-binary person. I relate to everyone that's in these rooms, right? And And I finally stopped saying, well, I just don't get them. They're weird, so it's different for them. I can't learn anything from them. My creator said, hey, these are your people. You've been coming here for, 17, now 20 years. Do you think I have you here on accident? I want you to do the work, son. And that work is ongoing. Right? I've been through the steps 3 times in 3 years. More character defects pop up. I have to open my mouth every single time they pop up and share them with my sponsor and ask for help. Because I don't want to be vulnerable to anyone. But what has happened is each time I've opened my mouth and I've shared what's going on with me in real time, I don't eat. For a guy who was 600 pounds to be willing to do the work today and not eat, no matter what. No matter what. I send a picture of my food, right? I got a group of guys that I sponsor, they get a picture of my food. I got a group of guys that my sponsor sponsors, they get a picture of my food. I follow the nutritionist plan. That allows me, that's the putting on of the glasses, right? And the clothes. And when someone calls me, making this thing my top order of business. And what's happened is I've realized in the last, really in the last year, as I've moved through a whole bunch of crazy things, that I don't have any power. My power is so limited. And I had been spending so much of my time worrying or trying to fix my children or trying to, manipulate this or manipulate that. And I've really one day at a time been working on just giving up on all of that fixing and doing what I can, creating change that my creator would actually have me do instead of me out here just trying to like manipulate the world to fit. No, I still wanted to play the director. I was abstinent and I still want to play the director. I didn't want to play the director with my food. I had let that go. I've let that go for 3 years, but I realized over here in my work life, oh, I'm playing the director. Right? Like who is God really my employer? Is you know what I'm saying? Do I really believe in a power greater than myself? Or do I just believe that I'm the one that's out here pushing the buttons and making things happen? And the thing is in the last year, I've just realized I have no power. I'm absolutely powerless over people, places, and things. But what's happened is when I've kept my focus on program and helping other people, all these things that I've been wanting to go my way just started to go my way, right? It was like I had nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? I mean, a year ago, I did not have a good relationship with my oldest daughter, who today had a baby, and now I'm a grandfather, right? I mean, I've been talking with her for months. You know what I mean? I've been inviting her into my life. I've been inviting my children. I'm like, my kids don't. I tell myself stuff like, my kids don't care about me. They're like, they're 20, they're 22, they're 19, they're 16. Oh, they don't care about their dad. And I, because I tell myself the lie first. Because here's the thing is, it's just like program. I don't want to do the work. I want to be the revered father, but I don't want to do the work. I don't want to put in the effort. You know what I mean? I just want to show up skinny. Like if I woke up, like if 3 years ago, if I had woke up and I'd been 200 pounds, like that was going to fix me. The problem is in between my ears, whether it's food, whether it's people, whether it's places, whether it's things. And the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous is the set of instructions that teaches me how to live. It teaches me about love and tolerance over all things. It teaches me to get out of the bondage of self and get into helping another human being. And And it's the most difficult thing I've ever done because it's not, there's no place to really muddy it up. You know what I'm saying? If I muddy it up, I'm usually in self-pity or self-righteousness, right? Or I have a resentment. But the fact that today I can recognize all of those things, that I have people I can go to and say, hey, this is going on. Can you help me with this? You know, these. Those are the reasons why I was 600 pounds, right? Because I didn't know how to live. And when I didn't know how to live, because I didn't know how to experience feelings, I just wanted to eat. And I finally stopped eating. I was finally able to stop eating, but the starting living was even was more difficult than the stopping of the eating. Because the thing is now I have to create and be a part of connection. It's one thing to just stop the compulsive behavior. Okay, I just want to, you know, like those first five steps are all about me, me, me. And for me, steps 6 through 12 are all about God, God, God. Okay, I'm entirely ready. Because I mean, that's essentially showing up to a, you know, like when I show up to a meeting, I'm just like, I'm ready for an experience. Hey, God, to me, I mean, to me, step six is God's first step. You know, I'm showing up and I'm saying I'm ready. You know, and the thing is like as I grow and I learn inside these 12 steps, there's absolutely no question in my mind that I want more life, a bigger life, a better life. And I'm not talking about having more stuff, more shit, more things in the house. I'm talking about having more people, more life, more love, right? A life free from the bondage of all things, not just food, because I am free from the bondage of food today, but I still see other ties that bind. And so today I say, hey, God, I want to be relieved of that. And it's just that simple. I say, hey, I want to be relieved of that. And then God, and then my creator asks me, you know, and in my two-way prayer all the time, okay. Who are you going to share this with? Because if it was just me and God, if that was enough, I'd have recovered a long time ago. You know, I need the people in these rooms, right? There's an activation when I share with another compulsive overeater what's going on in my life that manifests change that I can't get by myself. Because you all have shown me how to. Have taught me how to check my motives. Have taught me that all those times I thought I was doing the right thing, I was really just seeking approval. You know, I learned, you know, I used to say the term people pleaser. Oh, yeah, I'm a big people pleaser. I remember saying that to my sponsor in the first week of I was talking. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I don't really call it people pleasing. I call it kind manipulation. And I'm like, God, he's such an asshole. Why does he have to make everything sound like so jerky? But the thing is that was the truth. I was a kind manipulator. I wanted to get you to where I wanted. I wanted to manipulate your thinking, right, in some way, shape, or form, so that I was seen in an appropriate, in the light that I thought was appropriate. And all of this is just more work than I ever thought it was going to be. It really is. And it's insurmountable if I try to do it alone. It's insurmountable if I don't have guides, if I don't have friends who are going through it with me. But when I do it together, when I keep my hand in yours, one day at a time, it's so manageable, right? My peace is so manageable because my influence is so small. And I have to develop in that a trust in that influence with my creator and with the people about me. And I've been able to do that one day at a time for the last 3 years. Right. So I hope to be here, grateful, growing for the rest of my days. But I'll just stay in the present moment, and I'm very excited to hear what others have to share. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Chuenda. That was great.